love to see you guys just, you know,
give a high five to the person right next to you. Like, just brighten up the mood, right? It's Sunday morning. Hey, guys. I know some of you are still sleepy, but this is the day that we come to the house of the Lord to worship Him and whatnot. Yes, I'm a rapper. Used to be a professional performer. These days, for the past few years, I don't rap as much. I'm just slowly get back to the game because this is something very amazing happening this year. So for some of you that do not know me, very brief history of myself, 3 minutes history. So I used to be a recording artist, signed with the first record deal was with Warner Music Taiwan, and the second record deal is with EMI Music Taiwan. So at the time when I was signed with EMI Music, they have David Tao, like I don't know if you guys know these people's name, in Taiwan. But right before I get into the game, I got into trouble and I ended up in prison right here in BC. I received a 12-year sentence. So if you want to know more about my stories, you can go online and check me out. You can type Bosco Poon or Boss, B-O-Z is my stage name, Born of Zion. So you can type Boss Poon or whatnot, you can see some of my stories up there. But the great news is, the Lord showed himself to me and I got an early parole 4 years in. 4 years into my 12-year sentence. So I got released back to the society in BC 7.5 years ago. Now, so if you do the math, 4 plus 7.5 is what? 11.5. So I have half more years to go then my sentence will be completely finished. Praise the Lord. So for the past 7.5 years, I've been ministering in Vancouver. I'm now a pastor. As a matter of fact, I'm now the lead pastor of more than 12 church. The church used to birth out from a nightclub. So we reach out to the people who DJs and rap. But now the people start to grow up. Now they have married and have kids. So we gotta, you know, take it off a notch. Like, not too hardcore about the rapping and DJing anymore. So now we gather at in Richmond at 2 p.m. instead of 5 p.m. So that is a little bit of, you know, helping the guys. Hey, let's get up a little bit earlier. So, hey, I appreciate you young people to be able to wake up every Sunday morning to be here to worship. This is really good because for my people, sometimes 2 p.m. is still too early for them. The culture is going crazy these days, right? But anyway, we still have to reach out to them. We still have to help them to worship God. Yeah, it is so important, right? I mean, God is up there. We have to worship Him. It is so important to learn how to worship Him. I'm going to stop right here with this last phrase of my brief history. So this November, I'm going to have a freedom party. I'm going to fly. I'm going to celebrate with the people that I know, the people that I've influenced over. So I've been inviting friends and ministry leaders and whatnot to come and celebrate with me. So I'll talk to your pastor about it. November 16th is our freedom party. It's going to be the biggest outreach event that our church has ever put together. So please pray for us. And we pray that a lot of people locally from the English and Chinese community will get to see the amazing work of the Lord. Yes, it's a celebration of me, but matter of fact, my story is really pointing people to God. If you want to check out some of my rapping, today I'm just going to stick with the word today. But if you want to learn more about my rapping, you can go online, check it out. And how many people here still watch Fairchild TV? I don't know anyone here. There's some people back there. Yes, the moms and dads. Yes, I understand that. So I just got invited to be a guest performer for Fairchild TV in June 20th at River Rock. It is their 25th year anniversary. So so I'll be a guest performer there. On June 20th. So you can just turn on your TV and you probably can see me up there rap for 5 minutes. Anyway, long story short, I just really want to get into the word. I'm just going to do a quick prayer, okay? Do a quick prayer and then let's get into the word. Father, we want to lift up this place to you. Matter of fact, we want to lift up our hearts to you to receive what you have in store for us. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come today. We invite you to come and transform. And if anyone here going through struggles, I pray that after the message, by your power, by your influence, we will get transformed today. I pray that we will get out from this place different than we came in earlier today.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen, amen, amen. Let me ask you a quick question here. How many people here want to see miracles? If you are honest, okay, everyone here should want to see miracles. I just so want to see miracles myself, man, seriously. And I hear this all the time as I was walking on the street, as I was ministering to people, no matter what nationalities they are. Most of the people, actually, they really wanted to see miracles, especially those of people of faith. They pray to God, right? We pray to God all the time, and we ask Him for miracles. Matter of fact, we ask Him to help us in certain different aspects of our life, and we ask God to show us miracle. But let me ask you this question. How many people here understand that? I just assume that you do. If you don't, take this as a reminder. How many people here understand that the Spirit of God is the very engine that produces miracles? I want you to remember this. Take this in your heart. The Spirit of God is the power behind all miracles. Okay? If people ask for miracle all the time, a miracle made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Point blank. Okay? Who raised Jesus from the dead? The Bible tells us the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, right? And everything that Jesus performed, the miracle that Jesus performed in the New Testament time, it only made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus said that, hey, you guys will do more things than I do. So, in that regard, basically, when people say yes to miracle, they are just saying yes to the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Keep this in mind. People, most of people out there do not understand is they ask for the miracle, but they understand the power behind it. But that is insane. If you think about it, okay, I'm going to go back here a little bit later. My next point is, before we say yes to something, we have to say no to certain things. So today we will talk about when to say no. That's the topic of today, when to say no. I'm going to say that one more time. Before we can say yes to something, we have to say no to certain things. Okay, this is a fact. This is not only a biblical fact, it is a universal fact. Yeah. So the Bible tells us there's a time for everything. There's a time to say yes, and there's a time to say no. Okay? Understand that. So they go both hand in hand. They are connected closely together. So next slide. Take this down somewhere. This is the first note of the day. In order to say no to something, there has to be a bigger yes burning inside of us. In order to say no to something, there has to be a bigger yes burning inside of us. I'm going to do a demonstration here. Can I use the top of that? Does it matter if I put my demonstration on the top of that piano? Does it matter? I'm not going to scratch it, okay? So I have a bag of chips here, okay? A bag of chips right here. And then I have a bowl of organic salad right here, okay? Very quick demonstration, okay? So my point is, I believe, especially the young people, when you guys see chips, you guys be like, oh, this is amazing. I want that, right? Some of you are like, I want this right now. I'm like so hungry this morning and I'm rushing to church and I haven't even had breakfast yet. So this would be like, oh, this is your dream of the day, right? Right here, the chips. And maybe some of us, not too much like the bowl of veggies, huh, do we? It's organic, which means, they use the real stuff, the real poop to grow them. You know, this is not all chemical stuff. This is like the real organic stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, so my point is, if you look at it, how can I resist, how can I say no to this bag of chips? It's not that you're not supposed to have this bag of chips. The point is the oil that they use, right? It's just not so healthy, right? So if you have a habit to have this every day, I would suggest you to maybe, hey, slow down a little bit. Right? You can have cheat days, right? But not every day, or maybe every second hour. It's just not too healthy for you. How can you say no to this and say yes to this bag of veggies? Summer is coming up. Some of us like to have a beach party, right? You don't want to have a tummy sticking out when you go to the beach, right? I don't think you do. If you do, good for you. If not, that, you know,
If you want to get into a routine of keeping a healthier body, some of you might have heart issues that you're not supposed to have this, right? Some of you might be because your body is telling you, no, I cannot take this junk food anymore. You have to choose a healthier living. In order for me to be able to say no to this bag of chips, a bigger yes has to burn inside of me. A healthier living. Right? Have a goal in my mind. This yes, I want a healthier body. Yes, I don't want excessive fat in my body. This has to be a bigger yes inside of me, burning inside of me before I can say no to this bag of chips. You know what I'm talking about? So being able to say no is so important in our life. You see, take miracle for example. If I ask God for a miracle, I have to say yes to the power behind it. Right? If I ask God for a miracle and say no to his power, that is baloney, right? It's like, it just doesn't make sense. So when we say yes to the power of God, when we say yes to the miracle of God, we got to say yes to the power behind it. That means saying no to the things that will stop the power of God. Saying yes to God's miracles, saying yes to the power behind the miracles, meaning saying no to the things that will stop the flow of God. Saying no to the things that will stop to block us from God. Saying no to the things that is going to stop his power in us. Let's turn to the next scripture of today, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Today I've used three different translations, yeah, so that you can get to see, okay, there are different translations, how they, you know, convey the word of God. So in 1 Corinthians 3:16, it talks about, do you not know that you are the temple? Say it, temple. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, for those that might not know Jesus Christ yet today, it might seem very foreign to you. But hear me out. I'm taking you to somewhere today. For those of us that already set up Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, as we live as Christians, we are the temple of God. And the next thing comes after that is the Spirit of God dwells, meaning living in us. It makes sense. If you really think about it, okay, if we really think about it, it just makes so much sense. In order for God to be with us, right, that's Jesus' name, Emmanuel, God with us. So in order for God to be able to live with us, he has to live in us, right? In order for God to be with us, he has to live in us. And this is a very interesting point that I think a lot of people do not understand this part, but I really feel that the Holy Spirit really wants us to get this today, especially for those who already committed themselves to God. I think this is amazing. I just pray that the Spirit of God can open up your hearts to receive right now. Lay down all your burdens, okay? Just receive right now, okay? Forget about the trouble. Forget about the laundry at home. Forget about that relationship problem. Just receive right now because God is speaking. You know, as a pastor, I got to do some home visits sometimes, right? People are sick or people are going through struggle. Maybe even have family violence. Like the pastor, part of our job is to go and visit people and bring the peace of God to the house. So I've been going around town for the past 7.5 years, going to different houses. Some are beautiful houses. Wow, mansions, Ferrari and whatnot, amazing houses. Wow, there are like 7 bedrooms, big karaoke room and a basement. Also, I entered some houses. It's really small and tiny and even broken. Now, for all my home visits for the past 7.5 years, there are some pretty remarkable ones. I remember there were a few times I walked into a house, and then as soon as the person opened up that door, a really, really tangy, not too pleasant smells would just, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it just come through my nostril, and I was like, what's that smell? Like, what was that smell? And then the person was so welcoming. Come in, Pastor. And I'm like, okay. So at that moment, we got to really rely on the Holy Spirit, right? I just got to pray to God, Jesus, like, give me strength. Like, you know, I don't want to be in that house, but give me strength to endure it. So as long as I walk into the house, and as I was walking towards the living room, you know, many houses and apartments, the living room is like right beside the kitchen, you know what I'm talking about? And then right in between the kitchen and the living room, there's like the garbage bin right there.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bags of garbage. I start living in the kitchen. And that's where the smell comes from, right? The tangy, you know what I'm talking about? The tangy, rotting smell coming out through my nostril. And as I'm in there, I was like, oh God, I have to do ministry time here. I'm going to speak life. But it's just really hard. Like, let me be really honest with you. It's just really hard to speak life when the smell of rotten garbage is like surrounding. You know what I'm talking about? It's just so hard. But I was like, but hey, with God, I can do all things. But the Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead can raise me up from this rotten garbage juice, right? So I still did my job, and I still asked God to bless them. But the whole time, I was praying. I'm just being really honest with you. I was praying that God, just get this over with and get me out of here. Get me out of here. My point is, if this is the temple of God, if inside of us is full of rotten junk, and then we ask God to come into our life all the time, how do you think he would feel? Interesting point. I mean, God will still come. He loves us so much. He will still come. But his presence in our temple may not be too pleasant. You see, we do actually want to make God's presence pleasant in the temple. I think God, Jesus Christ, died so that we can reunite with him and have a continuous relationship with him, not just on our baptism day, not just on the day that I receive Jesus. He died so that we can have a continuous relationship with him on a daily basis. And with our daily walk with Jesus and invite him to live in our house, we have to be mindful that, okay, am I making the Lord stay at my place pleasant? You don't want to force him out. And by Jesus Christ's endurance, he is great, he is amazing. He would go to the sinners like myself. He would go into prison cells and hospitals and even graveyard to raise us back to life. But he doesn't want us to stay there. Are you getting the point? I hope that the Spirit is speaking to some of us here today. How do I know if my house is full of junk or not? The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, I believe. That's about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? If the fruit I'm producing, take serving God, for example. This is not just a conversation, a conviction for you guys. I say this to my church people a lot as well. At our church, we are just renting a space right now at the top floor of Trinity Western University, Richmond. So we don't have the luxury of storing our stuff like this. So every single Sunday, matter of fact, while I'm preaching here, my storage team has to go to the storage and take loads of stuff from the storage to come to the parking lot of the university and start to transform, bring stuff up to fourth floor. So every single Sunday is a transform. It's like transformer, you know, different parts come in and boom, 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 Sunday service. So sometimes they're grumpy, sometimes they are, you know, late and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Those are the moments that can tell us the fruit of the Spirit, if it is active in us. You know, we talk about asking people to come worship God, but if ourselves are grumpy, I don't think God's day would be very pleasant, is it? But on the other hand, if I clean up the house, if I clear out a gutter, if I clear out the house, just take those garbage out. Just take those garbage out. Take those garbage out. Open up the window. The house will become clear again. And I believe Jesus is wanting us to know that there are stuff in your life that you might be holding on for so long. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's depressions. Maybe it's schoolwork. Maybe it's job. Maybe it's relationship problems. Maybe it's family problems. And you just hold on to those things and you just package it and put it in the living room. And you just leave those things in there and ask God, come, God, come, help me out. And maybe God is saying that, hey, why don't you just chuck those things out? Just chuck it out. Just chuck the garbage out so that I can be pleasant in your house and you can enjoy my presence.
I believe this is a trick from the enemy that we will always hold on to the baggages, the garbage, that are stopping God's flow really beautifully in our temple. When we will talk about, so let's spread the gospel. This is Gospel Sunday here. Let's spread the gospel to the world. But yet if ourselves is full of garbage, that gospel is not convincing. Yeah? Okay? So what I'm trying to say is, let's raise up our game. Let's raise up our game and let this gospel be convincing, starting with us, our personal relationship with God. Hey, guys, I just want to let you know that God is real. My whole testimony, if you go online and check it out, I don't know what it is, my whole testimony is to glorify God and know that, hey, He is real. The last thing we want is to come to the church and play the church game, and God is not real in our life. That's not good. Let's up our game to say that, hey, you know what? Actually, it's not about coming to church so that by my fulfilling the regulation, I can have a... No. It's always start from us. If we can have a daily relationship with Jesus, man, I tell you what, the fruit of the Holy Spirit cannot stop. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to strive to be patient. You don't have to strive to be doing all these good things. It will come from you naturally, because that is the most evidence that God is with us. It's not by the works that we do. It is actually by our characters that push us to do those work. Hallelujah. Amen, church? Amen. Let me hear amen. 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 There you go. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Huh? Let's turn to our Bible, to the next Bible verse, Psalm 51:10. You know, the psalmist, the author of the psalm, understand this part. That's why he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He understands this part. He understands how important it is for us to have a clean heart, have a clean house, have a living room that is without garbage, so that the right spirit can generate from within. Yeah? The key to become Holy Spirit people. That term might not be familiar to you, but that term is actually Jesus Christ used that term a lot. Jesus said, "I'm going back to the Father," before he walked up to that cross. "I'm going back to the Father and prepare many rooms for you, but don't you be afraid. I'm going to leave you a comforter," right? A counselor, which is what? The Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you guys a bonus today. I'm saving this message right now, what I'm going to tell you, on 3 Sundays from now at my church. So you guys get the first hand of this message right here, this part. So you guys get the good stuff today. Hallelujah. If you look at the disciples of Jesus, okay, let's take this part. This is not in my notes. This is from the Holy Spirit. If you look at the disciples of Jesus, 12 of them, one betrayed Jesus. The other 11 was being with Jesus every single day. Now, I don't know about your discipleship in this church, but probably you won't have discipleship every day. So these 12 disciples were having intense discipleship every single day with the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, God Himself. And when trial comes, one betrayed Jesus, 11 of them disowned Jesus. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Wow, right? So if you are not so, you know, godly, don't beat yourself up. The 12 was like that. But when did the shift change? When does that shift come? You know, I hear this so much, especially my leaders, especially for the past 7.5 years, for the first 4 years, people come up to me all the time. You're not qualified to be a pastor. You're not qualified. Okay? Even to get my credentials, I have to check my criminal record check. Praise Jesus. It's all sorted out this year. But when we look at the model of Jesus and the discipleship model of Jesus, I believe the 12 disciples were not qualified at all. Not just by their educational qualification, but also by their actions and the relationship with the Lord. When does that shift change? The shift change when they are full of the Holy Spirit. When they receive the Holy Spirit of God, which Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 promised it.
He said, you guys don't leave Jerusalem and receive the Spirit from God. And that is what qualified them later on. Peter, in a few days earlier, just denied Jesus 3 times. So afraid of talking about Jesus. So afraid of the gospel. After the Holy Spirit came upon him, guess what happened? He instantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he went up to the pulpit and preached the gospel, even performed miracles. He became one of the very important apostles that our faith is based upon today. My point is, it is not about the regulation or how qualified you are by educational qualification or whatnot you think that you are doing, regulation of the church and whatnot. God qualifies you by his Spirit. Of course, let's start with a personal relationship with God. You cannot have his Spirit if you do not have a personal, really close relationship with him. My point is, you are more than qualified in Jesus Christ to do his work, to spread his gospel, and to use the authority to go against the darkness of this world. Okay, church? I want you to say amen to that. Amen, amen. So you are qualified. Say that, I'm qualified by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's right, that's right. Now, with that being said, now this part is very important. I noticed the time. 5 more minutes, and I'll come to a stop for my message. This is very important that he doesn't want us to say yes to everything, especially living in this culture. He doesn't want us to say yes to everything. Maybe you grew up from church. Maybe you're just a very nice guy or girl. Maybe you're a yes man. I used to be a yes man. I used to just say yes to everything because I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want people to hate on me. So before, like about 10, 15 years ago, I would say yes to everything. But God doesn't want us to say yes to everything. So therefore, how can we not say yes to everything? By saying no to the things that God wants us to say no to. God wants us to say no to cheating. God wants us to say no to lying. God wants us to say no to all this bad stuff, white lies and whatnot out there that people say that you should just do it. God doesn't want us to just go with the flow, with the culture. So my next point is, next power slide. In order to say yes to God's will, we may have to say no to a seemingly great opportunity. Okay, very quick. A very good example of this is, I know of a friend. I cannot use her name, but I'm just going to use the name Sally, okay? So Sally grew up from the church, was serving in the church at the worship team. She was serving all the time. It's a small group leader. But then she wasn't satisfied with her life. Her university friends are getting better and better job, climbing up the ladder. So she just wanted to climb up the ladder. But mind you, she was very intelligent, she's really good at math. She was already in the management team of this company, but she just wanted more. So she prayed and prayed and prayed. And lo and behold, not too long after, a great job opportunity comes up. Triple of her salaries that she was receiving. Housing allowance, car allowance, purse allowance. Like, seriously, I'm not even kidding. So next thing she knows, she pray and pray. And she said, this must be from God because I pray for it. I'm going to take that job. Took the job just to find out that it's a great company, don't get me wrong. It's a great company. She had to study to go mingle and she had to attend all these cities gala with tons of rich people. Her stuff just got instantly upgraded. Now taking LV and Chanel purse, even rolling in Lamborghini and McLaren. Real story, not joking. She was really climbing up the ladder right here in Vancouver. But one step at a time, because job got busier, she stopped serving at church, stopped attending life group, stopped being at the worship team, because this job that God gave her, she has to treasure it, right? Treasure the job. Very loving the job. Still go to church on Sunday though, but just drop all serving. And then gala after gala, event after event, she got drunk all the time. Got drunk all the time. Got drunk rolling in the McLaren. Probably sinned a few times too. So 1 year passed by. She was living the life. The company was having great planning for her. The company already offered a few apartments in downtown Vancouver that it is yours. Take it. And then there's this one time she's at a hotel, in a very nice hotel in downtown. She's in this hotel room, 5 centimeters away from a sexual sin. 5 seconds away, dirt drunk, 5 seconds, or 5 minutes, I'm sorry, 5 centimeters away, from a sexual sin. And then something hit her. And then the Holy Spirit hit her and asked her, is this really what you want? And then the memory of her serving at the church, serving at the worship team, leading people to worship God, even though it wasn't a big church, but it was like happy and pure. She remembered the people in the life group or small group were really genuine to her. People didn't just want to lust for her body, but she was in her tight, you know, nightgown or whatnot. And then she remembered the joy that she used to have, even though she doesn't have as much money back then. She was remembering all these things, and then the word of God came to her and asked her, is this really what you want? You really want this but lose your soul? Are you serious about this? And at that moment, she had to make a decision to say yes to that sexual sins or say no to it. And then she was crying, even though she was drunk. She was like, oh God, no, I don't want this. I remember the teaching of the pastor. No, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. And at the moment, she said, no, I have it enough. She said no to that, and then she walked out. She walked out of that hotel room. The following week, she resigned that job, came back to church, serving again, and God gave her another job that is just as satisfied. Not as much money, but just as satisfied. In order to say yes to God's will, we may have to say no to a seemingly great opportunity. In Matthew 4, 8 to 10, I'm going to end with this. In Matthew chapter 4, 8 to 10. So Jesus himself demonstrated this. Okay? Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this I will give you. The devil said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus had to say no to a great opportunity. The splendor of the world, the word, you know, all the good stuff, the fame, the money. Jesus said no to that because there's a greater yes burning inside of him, because that is the evidence of his relationship with the Father, right? The Spirit was telling him, matter of fact, the Spirit led him to this temptation to test him and to train his character. So in our trial, remember this, is a training from God for our character, okay? Last point. Maybe the worship team can come on up and play some background music as we close this together and lead people into a time of response. We have to know when to say no so we can say yes to the greater things that God has for us. We have to learn when to say no so we can say yes to the greater things that God has for us. You might have been waiting for miracles for a long time. I have been. You might have been waiting for miracles for a long time. But maybe all the while, God is training us to, first and foremost, trust in him. And secondly, to clear up our house, to let him live inside of us always. Maybe God has been waiting for you to be a person that is full of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God is the very engine that generates miracles. So matter of fact, when we are asking for a miracle, we just want the power of God through his Spirit to be active and alive in us. I'm going to do a prayer to end today's message. Hey, thank you so much for coming, and thank you. I just want to say thank you for the worship team and the sound team and the media team. Like, we want to say thank you so much for pouring your energy. Of course, the pastors and the deacons and all those, you guys are amazing. I know the struggle of serving God, and the devil will not stop attacking us. For my over 10 years of serving God, in first starting off in prison ministry, then to an evangelist, now a pastor of a church, I see that every time when we are doing something great for God, the enemy would attack. But it is not really just by our technical ability. It is by our spirit. I remember there are many times that my guitarist would, there's nothing comes from the guitar. And then they try to switch like 10 cables. Like, I kid you not. They try to switch 10 cables, it's not working. I just go in, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we pray for you to help us today. We rebuild the work of the enemy. We believe that our God is more powerful than the enemy. So let us not get grumpy right now, because this is exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Let's serve him with joy. Come on, guys, let's put on your joy. Let's smile. Right? Smile. Put on your joyful smile for God. Clap for him. As they would do that, the technical problem will dissolve itself. I kid you not. Over and over again. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for today to lead us into this time of worship, to get to know your word, and what's most importantly, it is to build our relationship with you through your spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit is living and active inside of us. For anyone here today that haven't received their salvation yet, we pray that you can open up your heart. And if any song today, or if any part of the message today, or your heart just supernaturally being touched by the Spirit of God, we want to invite you for a response. You can raise up your hand to say, hey, I want to receive this Jesus that you guys are talking about. Or maybe you are simply just like, hey, I've been walking not too close with Jesus lately, and I want to rededicate myself to God and really want to build this relationship with him. I would like to ask you to raise up your hand as well. Don't be shy. This is the time to respond. The worship team there just looking at the floor. It's just me looking at you. And Jesus, of course. You can raise up your hand a little bit. Yeah, you can raise that up. Don't be shy. Raise up and say, I want to build a relationship with God. I want to invite him to my house, and I want to really clear out the junk, clear out the garbage in my living room so that Jesus Christ can have his presence pleasant in my place. I see those hands. Yep, you can put them down. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray to you right now, Lord. We're going to come to your presence and say, Lord, we need you. There are so many junk inside of us, and we need your spirit to help us clear those junk out. So, Lord, we are sorry for the time that we hold on to those junk. We are even sorry for the time that we don't believe in you, or we would say yes to the world more than we say yes to you. We are sorry for those times. We repent and we will turn back to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come to us and help us. We are letting go of this junk, letting go of this garbage, letting go of these negativities, letting go of this grumpiness, letting go of all these dark things. Lord, we just want to let go and say, Lord, we are willing to let you in. Help us to make our house, our temple, clean for you. Touch us, Lord. For the next 30 seconds, just reach out to God in your own way. You can just pray to him, or you can just simply listen and receive him. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Jesus. Come, Father. We submit ourselves to you. May your fruit prosper in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we want to pray for this church as well. As the people of this church learn to live with you on a daily basis, literally daily basis, we pray together that, Lord, you will utilize this church to spread your gospel, to help those that are in need, to help the poor, to visit the sick, to spread hope in the secular world, not just inside the church world. Because your mission is to reach out to the lost. We pray that lost will find you in this church, not just the building, but the members. Because we are the church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We lift up this church to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.